to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, July 9th, 2017, by the Reverend Eric Williams.
For I find it to be a law that when I want to do good, evil lies close at hand. Paul puts in probably the best way I've ever seen one of the major problems that we face in our human struggle, one of the major challenges that we have in our life of faith. We want to do the right thing. In most cases, we know what the right thing is, and yet we are often our own worst enemies. Self-defeating behavior is a problem that I face and every parishioner I've ever had has struggled with as well. The obstacles that we have are in our own bodies sometimes. One of the ways that I defeat myself is through food. I love food. I love good food and I love junk food. In fact, I love all food. Now, I know exactly what a healthy, well-balanced diet looks like. I can quote you chapter and verse on the best nutritional advice out there. And yet, it's very hard to pass by Tim Hortons with those lovely chocolate donuts and coffee with cream and sugar, all the bad things. I know what's right, but evil lies close at hand. And I'm not saying Tim Hortons is evil, but I'm saying I have a struggle to control my own actions. I defeat myself even when I'm trying to do what is right. Psychologists have studied this. They've talked about lots of different behaviors that are self-defeating behaviors as they've worked with people in a variety of circumstances. There's a kind of chronic negativity. There's an insecurity. We compare ourselves to other people. We feel insecure or inadequate. There's lots of ways in which we can self-medicate through food, like me, some people with alcohol or other drugs. We find all kinds of ways to defeat ourselves. It's kind of like this iceberg that defeats our best efforts. You only see the tip of it, but under the water, there's all this stuff that interferes and blocks us. Jesus talked about his opponents in today's gospel in a very interesting way. He said, "You people, there's no pleasing some of you." Maybe you've met people like this. There's just no pleasing them. They didn't like John the Baptist because he didn't eat and drink, right? He was he fasted. He encouraged people not to drink alcohol or not to eat meat. He was abstemious, and so they criticized him and said he was demonic because of that. Then Jesus comes and says, "It's okay. You can eat everything you want." And they call him a glutton and a drunkard. They are predisposed to be negative, like children in the marketplace taunting one another. That's a kind of self-defeating behavior. Those opponents of Jesus were prevented from hearing and receiving his message because of their own self-defeating mechanisms and behaviors. They were unable to see what was right in front of them, to accept the gospel, the good news of salvation, because of their own internal issues. A lot of times, according to psychologists, these self-defeating behaviors start out as a kind of defense mechanism for good. We struggle with, I think, every time kids go to school, you know, we nurture them so much, these kids, we try to build them up and help them with self-esteem, and then as soon as they get to school, they face all kinds of taunting. If they're different in any way, they are criticized, they're bullied. And so I think human beings, we tend to develop this armor to protect ourselves, this way of resisting these attacks that come upon us. Sometimes we build up defenses because of our family systems. We've been enjoying, I think, this summer, the wonderful saga of the patriarch's dysfunctional family. Abraham and Sarah have their miracle baby Isaac, and now Isaac has lost both his parents. But we know there's a little clue in the end of this story that Isaac is going to have his problems also. Isaac, you can understand why maybe he was a little distant from his father after that whole human sacrifice event almost happening. But we know that he's incredibly close to his mother. That's a dynamic in many families. Children who are favored by one parent or become very attached to one parent. Well, Isaac is very attached to his mother. He's grieving terribly over his mother. And so he looks for a way to gain some comfort and finds it in his wife, Rebekah. One of the clues that there's going to be some issues there is that he brings Rebekah into his mother's tent. She's going to be a replacement mother for Isaac. And they will have two children. We'll be enjoying the story of Esau and Jacob and their rivalry in the coming weeks. Isaac was wounded by some of the events that went on in his childhood. And so he tries to compensate, like all of us do, and builds up these behaviors that can be helpful, but sometimes get in the way. The problem, I think, comes when these behaviors become habitual. They maybe worked for us at one point in our life, but now they're no longer useful. But it's so hard to change behavior, isn't it? So hard to overcome these habits that we get into, whether they're good habits or bad habits. One of the interesting articles I was reading was from the Harvard Business Review, and they said that self-defeating behavior not only happens with individuals, but it also happens in companies. Companies can be their own worst enemies. There can be sort of a culture in a company which maybe starts off well, but then causes problems. I was thinking about Uber, the very popular ride app where you can call an Uber wherever you are. But they're having problems because of the behavior, the self-defeating behavior of their CEO and the culture that he inculcated in that company, which was very negative. It may cause the company to fold, who knows? Or they may be able to change the culture and overcome that and be something different. So what are the self-defeating behaviors that we struggle with? Do we struggle with chronic negativity, suspicion? Do we compare ourselves too much to other people and never feel satisfied with where we are? Do we struggle with medicating ourselves with food or alcohol or other things? What are the things that we struggle with, and how can we overcome them? How can we find the grace to make the changes that we need to allow us to become the people that God intends for us to be? Because that's really the heart of it. God intends for us to be fully fulfilled and joyful, to become the image that God has created us to be in His image, to be free from these obstacles, these self-defeating behaviors. St. Paul struggles with this mightily. Who will rescue me from this body of sin, he says. I don't know how to overcome these behaviors, but thanks be to God in Christ Jesus. Part of the answer, I think, is to rely more and more upon God, recognizing that we are powerless in ourselves sometimes to make the changes that we need. We need to tap into the source of life and transformation, which is God. It's one of the principles of Alcoholics Anonymous. One of the first things we need to do is to acknowledge our powerlessness and to trust in God, a higher power, right? This is the mechanism by which we allow God's power to work within us and to make those changes. The second thing, I think, comes also from psychology. If we have behaviors and habits that are causing us problems, those habits are deeply ingrained. The only way to change them is to replace them with new and positive habits. This takes hard work. It takes self-reflection. It takes the capacity to look inward and to understand ourselves, to do the work of understanding our families of origin and the programming that we have received, to understand from our past history where are the scar tissue, where is the armor that's been built up, and to then begin piece by piece to ask God to help us to change, to lose a little bit of that negativity, to be more open, to find positive habits that will enable us to grow more and more into the image and likeness of Christ. To me, this is the journey of transformation and growth in the Holy Spirit. The capacity to grow and change. It never happens quickly, and it never happens easily, but it is possible for us to grow and to change. Part of it for me is also needing the support of others. One of the purposes of churches to me, one of the reasons that we come to church, is to gather with other pilgrims who are on this same journey for encouragement and support. Instead of hostility and being torn down, we come to church to be built up, for people to walk with us in this journey, and to give us the word of encouragement, a smile, a hug, a how are you doing, an actual interest in what's going on in our lives. That support is so essential. It's been proven in weight loss and in AA and so many different groups that it is the support of a community which in the end makes the difference. Relying on God, the support of a community, and the inner work of self-reflection and examination of repentance and transformation. This is the path that can lead us into a new and more abundant and more joyful life. Amen.